crackers, to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISOs, RAMs, ZIP, SIPs. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
We're on.
Oh, man, excuse me. Oh, that's nasty stuff.
Oh, Jesus Christ, put on some clothes.
Oh, wait a minute, what time is it? Oh, my gosh, it's showtime? Are we going? Oh, man, well, I tell you what, why don't you introduce everybody to the show and the date and everything, and let me get a big swig of this nice, ice-cold 2-liter Dr. Pepper.
Real hackers don't drink Dr. Pepper. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Bin Rev Radio number, what is it, 89? I have no idea.
89.
Airing on March 29th, 2005. I'm your host, Black Ratchet, and with me today is my co-host, Egg Dog.
Hey, Egg Dog. Heyo!
Ooh, I can get used to this.
Yeah, it's
nice comfy chair, you know.
Hey, we're gonna go with this. We're gonna go with this. We're gonna keep going.
Oh,
just like
God,
this.
I'm gonna...
did we mention that it was March 29th, 2005?
I think so.
Episode 89.
Oh, I was right.
What do you mean? No. Coke? Real hackers drink Coke? Come on.
Real hackers drink Coke, and if necessary, either going up to Mountain Dew or Jolt Cola if they need extra caffeine.
Oh, can you be any more cliche than Jolt Cola?
Come on, Jolt Cola. All the sugar and twice the caffeine.
Yeah, right. I thought
Jolt Cola. It's really nice, you know. It makes you feel good.
Well, of course, everybody knows that I'm a nice Southern-style sweet iced tea guy myself. However, if I'm drinking soft drinks, which I don't do a lot, but if I've got to drink soft drink, I got to go with the Dr. Pepper. I have an occasional Mountain Dew. A Mountain Dew Code Red is pretty good sometimes. I tried the orange.
I never tried that, to be honest with you.
The Code Red's good. I tried the orange stuff, and that was nasty.
Actually, no. One of my friends from college is absolutely swore by the orange stuff, and I just looked at him like he had 8 heads.
Yeah,
I usually look at him like that, but...
Did he have 8 heads?
No.
Okay. The orange stuff, I tried it. It was okay. I mean, it was tolerable, but I just didn't care for it. But I also tried this, I think they got a grape one out or something. It might have been 7-Up.
No, what was that? What was that pitch black that they had or something?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Who made that? That pitch black
stuff? That was Mountain Dew.
That was god-awful.
Of course, we're probably going to get, 10 emails, to my mailbox, and after the show, they're saying, dude, that was Pepsi. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's right. Well, they'll correct
us. Actually, technically, Pepsi makes Mountain Dew.
True. It's bottled by the same, it's all the same company.
Yeah, which is always good because, when I...
That pitch black stuff, though, was just, I thought I was drinking rat poison. It was like liquid poison. Oh, man, wait a minute. You know what else? We should be worried more about getting sued than we should about hate mail.
Why? We can express our opinions of certain soft drinks.
Yeah, I guess these opinions are just that, our opinions, and do not reflect
our personal opinions.
Yeah.
Pepsi doesn't put rat poison in their grape pitch black Mountain Dew.
Right, exactly. It just tastes that way. Oh, but if Dr. Pepper wants to hook me up with a free lifetime subscription or whatever you call it, free lifetime supply, I'm all over that.
Yeah, never like Dr. Pepper. That's strictly a straight south of Mason-Dixon line.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. And Big Red, that's another southern drink. I never cared for that one much, though.
Dude, they actually, there's a drink named Big Red?
Yeah?
Oh,
what other
I
big?
I don't even know there's a gum.
Huh. Yeah, there's the gum, but I guess there's a soft drink. I never really thought about it, and they're not the same. Is this, wait a minute, is this a show about hacking, or is this a show about soft drinks?
Dude, soft drinks are integral to the hacking culture.
You know what? That is true. That is true. I am hereby declaring this appropriate conversation. However, I think we should probably move on.
In Rep Episode 89, the Soft Drink Spectacular.
That'll be our main topic for the night, soft drinks. Actually, you know what? The other kick that everybody's on these days, with at least in the hacking community, is because they want that caffeine rush and that energy and all that, is those energy drinks. And I've tried...
I've understood those.
Yeah, I tried two of them. I tried the one called... what was that very first one that was real popular? It's still real popular. It comes in a little can. It's
Red Bull?
Red Bull. That doesn't give you wings. That gives you a third nipple on your asshole or something. That's nasty stuff.
I got to give props to Red Bull for doing the first cartoon boobies on TV.
They did?
Yeah, one of their commercials featured cartoon boobies.
Nice.
And I distinctly remember remarking to myself, all right, cartoon boobies, because soon there'll be real boobies.
We have advanced as a civilization.
Yes, I am pro-boobs.
Well, who isn't?
No. I wonder if they're about to censor me on all these people on these radio stations that play these episodes.
And the other one that's popular called Balls, B-A-W-L-S. I can't stand that stuff either. I can't drink any of those energy drinks.
Oddly, it's like a car accident. I can't look away, but it just draws me into it. I know it's horrible, but I really just want to try it.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing. I tried them, and I just couldn't. It didn't do much for me. Maybe because I'm like constantly full of energy anyway, and I'm bouncing off the walls anyway. I don't really need any extra. Sometimes
I've actually turned away from the soft drink type for my caffeine delivery system. I've gone over to coffee.
Oh man, that's good radio right there. Oh, coughed right into it that time. That was a really good one.
If I was really talented, I'd fart into my phone right now.
Oh, man. Well, no one's ever accused you of being really talented. Oh, but ba-dum-bum-ching.
I have fans. I don't know why they like me, but, you know, I was talking to...
They're fake. I send them all.
Yeah, I guess so. Jeez. Someone I MD is like, yeah, I like you. And I'm like, me?
All right.
I completely forget who it was, but, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I know he listens to the radio show.
And, I gotta say, since I have a little opportunity here to stand on the soapbox for a moment, I have been recording this show the same way since episode one. Ghetto style. Old school ghetto hacking, whatever it takes to get the job done, and... I get a lot of people email me, and I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate people's suggestions and inputs and stuff like this, but this is one thing I really don't foresee changing anytime soon, and that's the way that we do the show. And you can go back and listen to episode, like, 6 or something, where we gave a rundown on how to do it. And I know a lot of other shows use Skype. I know a lot of other shows have soundboards and all this other things, and they sound great. Don't get me wrong. They also are great shows. Just not my style. I've always liked the reality aspect of this. We're doing this old school, seriously. This is just not two turntables and a microphone, but two MCs and a microphone, I guess. And I don't have anything fancy, and I understand people are saying, oh, you should go directly to your line in on your sound card, or you should use Skype, or you should tap directly into your VoIP line and blah. No, I like this because... I want people to know, and clear my throat on the microphone, I want people to know this is real, this is in my house. At any moment, my cat may go ape shit and go crawling across the room. I don't know if anybody remembers that. That was a funny story. That actually happened on the air one time. My cat decided to chew into one of the power cables to one of the computers under there, and all of a sudden I heard this, and the cat took off across the room and launched across and bumped the microphone and everything. That's good radio. That's reality.
That's old school, man.
Exactly.
And in supporting your old school endeavors, I'm talking on a phone that was made in 1965.
You know what? And it probably works infinitely better than any phone you could go buy off the shelf at Best Buy right now.
I love the audio fidelity on this phone.
Best lie.
This is my primary phone that sits right next to my computer. It's for those of you playing at home, it's a Western Electric Trimline, Type A, made in October 1965.
Mm.
And if I flip it over, it says Bell System Property, not for sale. But I did buy it from somebody.
Sweet. All right, well, I guess...
I put a photo of it on my webpage, but... You know. picture.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to have to put a picture of it up now, and we'll link to it from the show notes. Let's actually get into our normal format here and quit bullshitting. I'm also going back to using some foul language. I'm going to still keep it somewhat in line, but you know what? Fuck it.
Hey, Sank.
Yes, sir.
Fuck you.
Yeah, back at you, bitch.
Isn't
yeah,
that asshole?
Kind of, that's kind of funny, isn't it?
You know, this is, if we ever get on the like, you know, real radio, it's just going to be like this long all through the entire show.
Yeah, I know. The people that take our show and rebroadcast it on FM, they do have to edit out the bad words, and boy, some episodes are worse than others. Yeah. Some episodes are much, much worse than others. But whatever. All right, so let's see. So let's go into our normal segment here. We're going to open up and do some housekeeping stuff because we do have some cool things to announce. If anybody hasn't noticed already, we've made some changes to the radio pages, radio.binrev.com. Nick 84, well, of course Nick 84 has been working on DDP Hack Radio all this time. And one of the things that we've been doing is incorporating good podcasting feeds. We have an XML feed that doubles as not only podcasting, but it also carries the show notes and things like that. You can actually use it as a basic XML feed and syndicate it to whatever site you want to. So since we were already doing that, the next phase of that was to incorporate all that information, including the show notes, the hosts, et cetera, since we already did put those in the database, to use that information to start building a dynamic archive. Because in the past, the archive has been done in HTML, and it would have to wait until I got home a couple nights of the week if I had time to sit down and update those pages. And I even mentioned before that the fastest way to get it was through the podcast. And then eventually, a couple days later, I would put it up for download on the HTML page when I got time to edit it. Well, not anymore. From now on, it's going to hit the podcast at the same time it hits the archive. I'm going to do it in one place. All the data goes in the same spot. The show notes might not be immediately available, obviously, since it was just released. But we'll go back in and add those as soon as we can. So it's cool that you will be able to get it all at the same time, no matter where you look at it. That's a very cool step forward. And related to that, we've also created, when I say we, of course, I mean Nick 84, has also created a dynamic schedule. So the schedule in the past has, some shows will come and go, and some shows will leave the station, et cetera, for whatever reason. And it would take me the same thing. It would take me whatever time for me to set aside to edit that schedule page to reflect any changes, new shows, remove shows, et cetera. So now Nick has created a PHP dynamic schedule that will actually pull the database to see what is scheduled to play, so only those shows that are created will show up on there. So you can depend on that schedule a little bit better now. So shouts to Nick 84 for that. Very good things. And we've got a couple other things coming along those same lines. And DDP Hack Radio is very, very much coming together now. It's gotten much more reliable. We've added a lot of error checking. We haven't had any problems like were reported in the past. And we have checked with our other broadcasters. So I'm beginning to think that if there ever was a problem, it seems to be fixed now. So I haven't had any reports of any problems in quite some time. So it's coming together very well. And as soon as we add these last couple features in, it's probably open source time to really take this up to the next level.
It's almost like we know what you're doing.
Almost. Not quite. I don't want to fool anyone.
You're being pronouns halfway through that sentence. It's almost like you know what you're doing. There
yeah.
We go. That sounds better.
No. I don't have a clue what I'm doing ever. You're trying to give me a reputation of some kind there. I've got to be the clueless radio guy. You know I got to keep that up. Anyway, how about some email? All right, email number one this week.
I love that song.
Yeah, isn't it kind of da-da-da-da? Yeah, that's good stuff. Our first email this week comes from Cotrin, who was nice enough to give us a pronunciation key.
Yay, Cotrin!
Cotrin says, "Hey, I was just emailing to tell you as so many others have, that I love the radio show and Hack TV. Listening to your radio show has taken the place of my music playlist that is usually playing on my computer 24/7. Hack TV was great, and I'm waiting for episode 2. Through your site, I got linked to Rant TV, which is one of my favorite things to watch nowadays. It's a battle between BenRev Radio and Rant TV for me. I was emailing to ask when a new BenRev magazine would be coming out. Been waiting for that one. If you can email an answer or reply via the radio show, whatever works. Thanks for your time. All right, Cochran, thank you for the email. And actually, I put yours at the opening of the show today for a particular reason, because I do have a little bit of news on the magazine. Long, long, long overdue news. I did touch base with Logan Five. We've made some phone calls and about some emails back and forth. And the current status is that he has laid out all of the articles that I sent him, which is probably 60% of the magazine or thereabouts. And I've sent him a couple more. And if he gets those, when he gets those laid out, it'll probably be about 80% done. So we'll have to do the cover and fill in a few other things. So we are about 60% done now, just to give a ballpark estimate. What does that mean as far as how much longer? Still a month or two away at least. So don't get your hopes too much up. However, we will post on the front of BenRev.com, obviously, when the magazine is available, and put it up as soon as possible, and as soon as I get some printed as well. I have to wait until I get them physically in my hands before we will put them up on the website. So, and as far as Rant TV, and I know you didn't mean this to say we're competing or anything, but BenRev Radio and Rant TV, I mean, Binary Revolution Radio has been on Rant Radio from day one, so it's definitely not a competition issue, and Rant TV, of course, carries Hack TV, among a bunch of other great shows, so
that's very cool. We love Rant Radio.
Yes, we very much have a good relationship with Rant Radio. Rant Media, I guess, is the proper term. Because
we love Rant Media.
Between the radio and the TV, and they have a zine that they put out over there. So they're covering a lot of media themselves, kind of like us.
I didn't know they had a magazine.
Yes, they have. Well, they have an e-zine.
E-zine.
And actually, our very own Dual Parallel has been published in that e-zine.
Oh.
Yes.
Was not aware of that.
Yep. Okay. Letter number two. We need to steal some David Letterman. Letter number two. Paul, letter number two.
Letter number two.
I'm going to take that clip out and use it in every show from now on. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. All right. Email number two this week comes from Plastic. Plastek. P-L-A-S-T-E-K, Plastek, who says, I'm not sure when this show aired. It was a replay at 8:24 Central Standard Time a.m. Tuesday. Yeah, unfortunately, it's kind of impossible to tell.
What are you doing up at that time? Well, I guess you know, you could be at school.
Yeah, 8:24 Central Standard, yeah, I guess, yeah, who knows.
Or technically, he could be still awake from the night before.
Exactly, so. That's really what I was thinking, probably. I'm trying to translate that through time zones, and yeah.
That would be 9:24 EST.
9:24 Eastern? Oh, man, that's...
Or 2:24 Zulu.
I would probably be on my way to work about that time, or just getting into work.
I would be just waiting for the bus.
Public transportation sucks.
In your car on the way to work? I don't think so.
Well, I could. It wouldn't be helpful for others. It wouldn't be safe for other people, but...
Get on the bus at 8:30. I don't think I see 8:35 until I sleep all the way into Boston.
How do you wake up to know when you're where you need to be?
Technically, they have to kick me off the bus, but I'm just really good like that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. So Plastic goes on to say... I'm sorry, I was saying, I don't know which particular episode that was. The way we've got the rotation set up now is it plays the last around 8 or 10 episodes. I go through once in a while and trim off some of the older ones. Plays the last 10 or so episodes, so I don't know exactly which one, but let's see if we can figure it out. Just wanted to comment on you trashing your telephone service and the comment you made. I totally agree. Bell South has a lot of complete morons working for them that handle public issues as well as customer support.
I'm a switchman.
Yeah, you'll be wrong. They've got some good people, too. Some that are very good friends of mine, however. But the vast majority of them are, not real they put people in positions that they really shouldn't be in, and especially with tech support, customer support. Let's see. He says, I assume it's a he. I had dial-up with them temp a year or so ago. Temp? Okay.
Temporarily, I guess. Literally a year or so ago?
Yeah. I had a lot of problems with the primary and secondary DNS servers. Heh. Did I just read that line? Heh? H-E-H.
Yeah.
I just read that out loud, didn't I?
Yeah.
That should have been the sentence I skipped over.
Well, technically you could have said, I had lots of problems with the primary and secondary DNS servers.
Okay. When you call and ask for help, they tell me. When you call, they tell me? That's not proper. When I call and ask for help, they tell me.
Quick, call Strom.
You don't. Did I just hear an AOL bling in the background?
Yes, that was my cell phone.
Oh! You,
Siri.
Oh, no. Put him, make him say something funny on the air. let's see. When I call and ask for help, they tell me, quote, you don't need to set up your DNS, we do it for you. I tried over and over to explain to them this was not so. Finally, after losing my temper, I get, quote, senior tech, and he told me my DNS is in all as well. The problem was, if you are wondering, I was not on Windows, and no matter how many times I tried to explain this to them, they kept trying to get me to run the Internet Connection Wizard. You're not listening to me. I use Red Hat Linux. There is no Internet Connection Wizard. Hey, I almost added a bad word there instead of taking them away.
Yeah. Well, you said this was a swearing episode.
Yeah, I was.
And
I
just like to make the comment that, you know, the parents of senior tech, they must have really hated him to name him that.
Yeah, I know. That's you think, like, they'd shoot higher, like doctor or heart surgeon. But
yeah,
no,
like,
they went,
you know, why don't you just name the kid Punch Me?
Yeah, senior tech. I mean, jeez. Talk about setting your sights high. Geez. Anyway, actually, just wanted to say, enjoy the show. Some better than others, but that's anywhere. Enjoy Hack TV also. Keep up the good fight. Okay, Plastek, thank you very much.
I'm raising my fist in, like, some type of hacker power movement type of...
Power to the people!
Biznatch.
And you know what? And he also made something else that I wish... If people are going to diss the show or say something bad about the show, which he did not exactly... But, I mean, he was honest. That's an honest statement to me. He enjoys the show, some better than others. I feel the same way. I like a lot of shows out there, some better than others. There's nothing wrong with saying that. I don't take any offense to that whatsoever. This is probably not one of the better ones. I guess that remains to be seen. Let's see how we pull this out.
Unless we, like, you know, I bet this, like, will turn out to be, like, the best Bin Rev episode ever, where we just, like, start talking about soda.
I was going to say, we opened up spending, like, 10 minutes talking about soda and energy drinks and stuff. But you know what? Maybe people like us just being silly, being funny sometimes. Hey, I need it once in a while, all right? I'm stressed. Give me a fucking break. So, anyway, yeah, first of all, the funny thing is it's hard enough just to get a senior technician on the phone. Because they're taught to, I mean, like, if you ever try, you can call and immediately say, yeah, I want to talk to a senior technician. They're trained and taught to say, well, is there something I can help you with first, sir? Let me try to help you. Maybe we should do this first. They're trained to not let you do that easily. They're trained to stall and try to solve the problem and not transmit up to the senior tech. So just getting one on the line.
Theory tells us that his rafflecopter is out of gas, unfortunately.
His what?
His rafflecopter.
Okay.
R-O-F-L.
And Not Theory is absolutely our third co-host on the show tonight.
And he's about to pwn The Incredibles. He means watch it with his girlfriend.
Is that still in theaters? Oh, he's going to watch it at home on the DVD.
On DVD, man. Yeah. DVD.
Oh, I bought The Incredibles on DVD. It's good stuff.
I need to buy it.
I buy an occasional DVD. I don't care. I have a good DVD collection. And actually, the best thing on there, by the way, another tangent. Boy, this is like the most non-tech show ever. There's a short on there. I forget the name of it.
Jack Attack.
No. That sucked. That was.
Oh, shoot.
The sheep dancing.
The one that tops off the show.
I don't remember that. I think it was on the second disc with the sheep and the jackalope bouncing.
Yeah, the jackalope.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, if you watched it in the theaters, it preceded the actual feature.
Oh, I didn't see it in the theaters.
I don't actually own the DVD yet.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that was on the second DVD, and that was awesome. That was so cool. Apparently not cool enough for me to remember the name of it, but oh well. You can find out easily.
Boundin'.
Boundin', yeah, that was good stuff. That was really, really a different style of 3D animation. It was very puppety. Is that a word? Puppety?
I guess you could say
it
that.
It was very puppety, puppet-like. It was very puppety, but yet 3D animated. It was pretty cool. I liked it, and the music was awesome, too.
It was actually, the song and the vocals were all done by the producer, I believe.
Yeah, there's on the DVD, of course, they have the director's commentary, and they interview the guy, and he sat there, and he wrote the song himself, and then they had, like, Riders in the Sky perform it, which is an incredible group, if you don't know Riders in the Sky. Wish I could actually use some of their music to close out once in a while, but copyright police, I'm afraid of them. Anyway, let's see, where was I here? Getting a senior technician. It's like, it's impossible to even get one on the line, but then when you do get them, they can't even solve your problem. They don't even know what you're talking about. That's so frustrating that you ask for their senior people, and their senior people aren't any better. All that means is they are probably there, you know, they were able to stay 6 months without quitting. So that's all they have to do to become a senior. I spent about 3 minutes doing a search on Bell South. I wanted to see what the job description of a senior tech was, but I didn't have time to find it. If somebody can go out there and find the definition, let's see what the job requirements are.
Let's be able to chew gum.
Yeah, exactly. You know, actually, this might be a funny bit. We should plan this and do this ahead of time. Let's find out what the job description is, and then maybe on the telephonic craptacular, we'll call Bell South, get to the senior technician and quiz them. And let's
we should call the senior tech for the last part of the show. What, and let them play along from home.
Ooh, we could do that. Now, we'll save that for the craptacular. We'll save that for the telephonic craptacular.
Oh, so anyway, now that we're talking about tech support, I'd just like to toss in my 2 cents here and go off for a moment about speakeasy.net tech support. Speakeasy.net is the shiznit.
Yeah?
Their tech support is the only clueful tech support I have ever run into. I've suffered more than a couple of problems with them, mostly related to Verizon and COBAD not wanting to play nice with each other. And every time that I called them, they were extremely helpful, and dear God, they believed me when I said, well, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing the other thing, and I'm getting that. And they believed me when I told them that I actually ran all these commands and got these results.
And was it the same person each time, or did you find them all to be? So you had good experience.
It was not the same person, which, you know, I really don't mind, because they kept insane call logs. They knew exactly who I was and what I was causing problems with, what problems was happening with my system.
Very cool. So they actually had competent people, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know what? Shouts to that. Thumbs up for that.
And I was very proud. One of them said, you know, I really don't know your answer to your problem right now. I need to go around. Can I call you back? And, you know, judging from that, I gladly said, sure, no problem.
Well, at that point, you had some good experiences. Me, I don't like to hang up with any tech support because I'll never hear back from them again.
Well, honestly, you know, I was normally with that, but, the, you know, technically they earned respect in my book. So when they, you know, we sat on the phone for about a half hour, and we tried various things. And when he finally said that, I actually believed him enough. And sure enough, he called me back about 15, 20 minutes later.
Yeah, that's very rare. Definitely kudos to them, because that is something that's very, very rare.
Yeah, and like a couple of my friends have used them, and they all come back with the same stories.
But you know what? That's a great story, and I'm glad that worked out, but just for all the people out there listening, general advice, don't let them off the phone.
Indeed.
Ever. If you get tech support on the phone and they try to tell you they want to call you back or try that and call us back, no. Make them wait on the phone with you. Do not let them go, because if you do, you're going to start all over again. Like I said before, it's hard to even get to a level 2 technician or level 3 or whatever, senior. You're going to have to go back through all of that crap again with some new person who's going to make you do the same thing. Is your computer plugged in? Is your monitor turned on? Do you have, you know? Don't let them off the phone. Yeah. Okay, let's see here. Okay, next email is from Dev Monkey, who says, "Hey, Stank, I just listened to episode 88. That would be last week. I'm glad someone has had the balls to deal with those rude people who say they don't like your show. Well, speaking of the devil. I understand people...
There's people that don't like this show.
No, really? No.
Crackheads and Nazis, you all of them.
How could anybody not like good old lovable Stank Dog?
That's what I always want to know. He's just a cuddly, furry little guy. You want to take him home and...
With a little odor problem.
Let him reconfigure your computer.
Exactly. Oh, that'll be my new slogan. I understand people who may want to give constructive criticism, and I'm totally open to that, and thank people for it, and I do. I am too, I agree with that. But when it comes to people who just, for no reason, tell you they don't like something you make and like something similar better, that's insulting. If you don't like something, keep it to yourself or don't be so damned rude about it. That's my quick little rant, Stank. Thanks for an awesome show. Keep up the good work and don't let those rude people get you down. Well, thank you, Dev Monkey, and yeah, I kind of turned the corner on that. Had a little frustrating time there where it seemed like all of the emails I got had that nasty tone to them. And there's a little bit of irony in there that, A, you were motivated enough to write in and comment on the show, yet at the same time tell me how much you hate me or the show or the topic or whatever. So it's kind of a catch-22 there, kind of hypocritical that you even would send messages like that to me. But whatever, as long as I know and I found out now that there are people who support the show, and I'm glad to hear that, we're going to keep going with it. But funny you should mention those rude people, because our last email this episode is from System Shocker, who we've gotten email from in the past. System Shocker says, "Stank, you suck like a million times. P.S. You are F-A-T. A fat fucking dog. Fuck you, Metallica rules. Fuck you,
okay,
suck my dick."
I don't understand that part, because he has F-A-T with, like, periods after it, but it's like an acronym, but he never explains what it is.
I don't know, maybe he thought spelling it out would make it more... Let me do this. Hold on, I'm gonna channel the aura of System Shocker. Hold on, I'm gonna read this as I'm going to do... I'm going to do my impression of System Shocker. Let me get into the mindset. This is a Metallica rock and roll. Okay, Let me get this 15, 16 year old rock and roll. Okay, hold on. I think I'm there. All right. Let me try to start again. Let me read this as System Shocker. Here we go. You ready? Stank.
I've been ready for this all my life.
Okay. Don't make me laugh. I'm gonna mess up. Stank. You suck like a million times. P.S. You are F-A-T. A fat fucking dog. Fuck you, Metallica rules. Fuck you, suck my dick. If you ever touch a guitar or you fuck around with a drum set, you'll realize that it's fucking hard to create real music. A rock band creates real music. Music that isn't a touch of a button. Like your email theme song. So fuck you, Metallica rules, and you suck, you big fat dog. How was that?
My God. System Shocker.
Sincerely,
hey,
System Shocker. Sincerely, System Shocker. Yeah, that, thank you very much for that email, System Shocker. Your vocabulary and elegant way of speaking just really, really impresses me each and every time I get an email from you. So thank you very much for sending that to us. And Metallica can lick my ass crack. Okay, so
I don't think they will.
No, I don't think I'd let them.
They aren't into the ass crack looking.
No. No, I don't think they...
I mean, they aren't Backstreet Boys.
They can lick my ass. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
Not that I want them to or I would let them, but they can lick my ass crack.
I happen to like Metallica.
No. Well, see, here's the thing.
Email
I used to...
BlackRatchet at BlackRatchet.org.
Did you say .org?
Yeah.
No.
How you supposed to pronounce it?
It's not .org. It's not supposed to be... Haven't we had this argument on the air before? What does .org stand for? What is that short for?
Orgy.
An organization. If it was orgy, then you'd be correct in pronouncing it at org.
Dude, that's why I got it, man, because I just want more orgies on my site. My site is an orgy of phone freak-related information in Boston.
But if it was going to be short for .org, I mean, we already have four-letter TLDs. You got .info and stuff. You would have .org. You wouldn't need to abbreviate it.
Well, it's just the IETF hasn't, you know, approved my application yet. The Internet Engineering Task Force, they haven't approved my application for the expanding of, you know, .org to .org.
Yeah, I gotta send something in about the .c0m also for .com. start that all over again.
Well, I'm still waiting for my applications on .dot and .dog.
Dot dog. D A W G.
It was a Christmas present, man.
Dot D A W G.
Yes.
Stank dot dog.
Exactly.
That would own.
Actually, in all seriousness, there is a top level domain called .int, I-N-T, and like, you know, it's, I think it's like UN.int and NATO.int, like it stands for International Treaty Organizations and such. And technically you can't register it. It's like .edu. You can't register it unless you're a real organization. But my dream is to actually someday own unsigned.int.
Unsigned.int. Or short.int.
Yeah.
Long.int. That would be a pretty geeky URL. I got to say, that's a good TLD to have.
That's almost as cool as, screw.it.
Hmm. Italy. Well, man, there's a joke there I'm not going to take either. Anyway.
Well, so technically you could also have, like, more colorful metaphors for your actual domain name.
Yeah. And a lot of those would be porn-related, I'm sure. Just.fuckjustit.it.
really piss off that I can't get, like, just.do.it.
No, you get sued. I wonder if you could get sued for that one. That's a good law. Now, see, that's a good legal...
I'm sure they have the slogan trademarked.
Yeah, but it's a... Can you enforce that on a... What if you're in Italy, and your name of your company is something D-O? It's like Doug's Orders, and you're in Italy or something like that.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't have, like, you know, just.do.it. Unless, of course, you have, like, you know, the... Never mind, I can't think of a good acronym for just.
Yeah, That would be good. Plus, the international aspect of it would come into play. How can they force it over on Italy to give up a name? A registrar would be Italian-based, I guess. Oh, well. Anyway, discussion for another show. I actually might hit my lawyer up with that question, see what they think. All right, anyway, let's jump into some show and tell here. And, man... All our gabbing has got us through half the show, and we actually had some content today. Oh, I lie so bad. let's do some...
Dude, I don't know how we're going to fit all our stuff into the show.
Actually, I got some pretty good stuff, joking aside. I got a few things here. I don't have much show and tell anyway, so I can jump through that. Simply say that I recorded a Nauticon special episode of the show with Lucky225. Did that over the weekend, and doing some traveling. Actually, while you're listening to this, I'm probably, will I be back in town? I'm not sure. I might be out of town while this episode is airing, so doing some real-life, personal reasons traveling. Wish me luck. And
good luck on whatever you're doing.
Exactly.
I'll ask you about
that
after the show.
Just in case somebody is listening from my, anyway... Boy, that was vague and mysterious, but oh well. That's pretty much it for me. Recording Nauticon special. I still got to do.
Dog, international man of mystery.
Yeah, not no international. I don't even have a passport.
Interstate man of mystery.
There you go.
Intercounty.
Intrastate, if we really want to be particular. But okay, whatever. What do you got for show and tell while I take a drink of Dr. Pepper? Like I said, lifetime supply of Dr. Pepper. I would be very open to that.
Oh, I've been just really. Enjoying Asterisk and playing around with it, and myself and Strom Carlson have been goofing off and hooking our Asterisk box up together and fooling around with Dundee, which is stands for, I don't know what it stands for. It's a way of sort of sharing numbers between computers and having a bunch of computers interconnected into a mesh, and computer A is connected to computer B but not connected to computer C, while computer B is connected to computer C, and you can sort of, like, you know, A knows all the numbers on C, and, you know, I'm not doing a good job explaining it. Dundee.org, I think. Org. I bet you pronounce it GIF and not... I'm sure you pronounce it GIF and not GIF.
It is GIF.
No, it's GIF.
Who pronounces it GIF? GIF is
peanut
butter.
GIF is the correct CompuServe pronunciation. Unisys.
That's why CompuServe died.
CompuServe's still around, man.
They got bought out by AOL.
Yeah, still around.
Yeah.
I can probably get my CIS.com internet address. It's like 76232, comma.
Yeah, that's a real great naming convention there.
It was back in 1995.
Did they
and,
have?
You know, well, that was back in the day. It's like, you know, first thing I ever got on the internet was on my CompuServe account, and then I got, you know, straight into Unix about 2 weeks later.
Oh, yeah, I did the hopping around from CompuServe to AOL to disks back in the day, too, but...
No, never did AOL.
No? Yeah, I hopped from one to the other. Whatever I could get for free, 30 days, cancel, jump on to another one. Yep.
No, my parents paid for it. It's just that I stopped using it, and basically I was the only person to use a, you know, a modem back in the days.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
At a blazing 28.8 kilobits per second.
I don't care what you say or they say, it's GIF.
GIF.
GIF is a peanut butter.
It's a, but
let's, if we go out...
J is a peanut butter. GIF with a G is a image format.
Look, if we go out, here's how words are defined as far as I'm concerned. If we go out to 100 computer techies and we ask them and we held up the jar of Jif peanut butter and said, "How do you pronounce this?" And they're going to say Jif. And then you show them the .gif file, a .gif file, and you say, "How do you pronounce this?" They're going to say GIF. Therefore, even if it was originally Jif, it's been taken away. You want to start a campaign to make it back to .gif?
It is .gif. You don't have to take it away. I mean, I can go up to, like, you know, 105 MCSEs and ask about hackers and get a horrible definition of it.
Well, maybe you get a couple of them that had it right, but... And actually, that's a good transition, unless you would... Do you have some show and tell, some other stuff?
The only other thing that I've been really doing is, along with Asterisk, because I've been playing with, making up intercept generators, which is a... for those of you who don't know, an intercept is when you... get a phone, you know, when you dial a number that's been disconnected, you get the computer saying, you know, "Number you've reached, blah, 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 has been disconnected," and I've been fooling around with that, and it allows me to make fun sound clips like this.
Uh-oh.
"The number you have reached, 911, has been disconnected. If you need assistance, the new number is 1-900-379-3782. Please make a note of it."
Do I even want to know what that 1-900 number goes to?
I have no idea. I completely made it up by myself.
Oh.
I should have used, like, Miss Cleo's number.
Yeah, right?
I've been
Miss
stabbed.
Cleo has the answers for you, man. Well, you know what? Actually, I was going to use that as a segue into one of our main topics, but let's do this one first. If you want, you were telling me about this new thing, this Graffitia.
Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it, to be honest with you.
Are we? Oh, we're actually going to agree on pronunciation? All right. Way to go.
Well, clearly because I don't know how it's pronounced.
Yeah, I'm going with... Let's go. Well, it's got to be graffiti and media, so Graffitia. I mean, that's for the two words, right? Graffiti,
yep,
media.
Yeah, true.
So Graffitia. Now, what exactly is Graffitia?
Graffiti.
Okay, not exactly, but because we don't... What do we
graffiti
think?
Is an interesting new type of user interface. Essentially, what people are doing... is it allows you to take some graffiti and assign a image or some type of Easter egg to it, and what people can do is take a picture of your graffiti and email it to a certain address, and at which point you'll get your Easter egg.
Hmm. I wonder, and how is this exactly, how is this used? I mean, is this like a game that people are playing? Is this like a personal thing, or like... Our business.
I guess you could call it more of a game right now. I mean, it's just, you know, kind of experimenting with the current limits of technology.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, what's to stop, like, companies from doing this, and you scan it and they send you a coupon or an advertisement or some crap like that?
Oh.
How long before this becomes spammed? You know what I mean?
Well, how is that different? I mean, that's technically you could do the same thing with that. It's just more of pushing the bounds.
No, I think it sounds cool. I'm worried that if it ever takes off like everything else, the advertisers will get their fingers in it, and then you'll see some graffiti or something on the side of the, you know, it looks like it might be something interesting that you might follow up on, like on a wall in a club, for example. And you're like, oh, I wonder who left this. Maybe this is some new website or some new music group or whatever, and come to find out it was put there by some company, you know, some spam.
Oh, yes, everything is going to go down that path eventually.
Yeah, that's the sad thing. But no, this actually sounds kind of cool. And we talked about something similar to this on a past episode, the one about the 3D barcodes.
Oh, those things are so awesome.
Yeah, I don't remember that offhand. You know what we should do? And when we say we, I mean you. You know what we should do? Put together a show and kind of gather up a lot of these things and talk about several of them all together instead of all these different individual ones here and there.
Completely spiftastic new user interfaces.
Woohoo!
I'm sure everyone would just fall asleep.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, if we could demonstrate them maybe or actually apply them and have people play along somehow, that would be cool.
Probably do it with, like, Hack TV. That would be more
cool. Yeah, it would, actually. That's a good idea.
I just need a video camera.
All right, I'll send you one.
Okay, sounds good.
Keep waiting. Trust me, it's on its way.
All right, it's in the mail?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'll be waiting with bated breath. Actually, one of my eBay things should be coming in tomorrow. Oops.
Do I want to ask what you got off of eBay? Does it require batteries?
Payphone-related material.
Woohoo! Yeah! All right.
I won't be home. Oh no.
Will they leave it, or is it more than...
Oh, no. I'll be able to hit it. I just won't be able to play with it tomorrow night.
Sounds like a personal problem. But what about your delivery? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it'll be delivered. I have people taking care of that.
Ah, gotcha. All right, well, what I wanted to do a little bit tonight, and let's see, we've got a pretty good, decent amount of time, we can do some of this, is I had mentioned before that I had received my CEH certification, my Certified Ethical Hacker. And I mentioned, I gave a little quick overview of what some of the questions were like and the test format and things like that. Well, I thought what I would do is maybe read some of these questions, some of these sample questions. Some of them I cut and pasted from the exam, some of the ones that I wasn't sure about or some of the ones I thought were interesting. And, of course, I have some stuff. They have some sample quizzes available with some sample questions, et cetera, and I have my study guides, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought I'd give this a shot. Now, I'm not going to ask these to you, Black Ratchet, or put you on the spot, but feel free if you want to jump in and knock one out. Go ahead.
I thought we were going to have like a Jeopardy, a Hacker Jeopardy.
Yeah, we need some Jeopardy theme music here too, but... don't get us sued. We have to make like a knockoff. Well, let's see, one of the things you definitely need to know very well, I mean, you can pass the test without knowing this. However, one thing that's very much emphasized, and I really think people would, it would help you go further in understanding a lot of this stuff and not just memorizing it, is understanding, an in-depth understanding of TCP/IP, and specifically the different types of packets and how these packets are broken up, like a TCP packet versus an IP packet, and again, to take it further, versus a UDP packet or an ARP packet or pinging and ICMP, et cetera, et cetera. How those packets break down and what they look for and what's in the header and what's reserved, et cetera, et cetera. That will go a long way in understanding a lot of the things that you're going to cover. However,
screwed.
Yeah, that is not easy. Don't get me wrong. It's not hard, but there's a lot to that. That's definitely not something you can sit down and memorize right away. So that's something that I would think that if you're into the networking side of things, and again, I'm more of a programmer and with some networking skills. If you're in the networking side of things, you hopefully will know some of that already, or it would go very far in your career and everything to understand that fundamentally. It's kind of like understanding the fundamentals of programming and loops and things like that. So that, first of all, is something that I highly recommend, just in general. However, that being said, I do not believe that it's required on the test. There's no direct questions that I recall that say what is in this part of this type of packet or anything like that. However, it will apply to questions indirectly. You can get by without having those memorized by just memorizing the study guide material and stuff like that. And a lot of the emphasis on these exams, I'll tell you first of all up front, one of the things you do have to memorize, and boy, don't put me on the spot, this was my weakest part of the whole exam. What was that? Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, I thought you dropped off there.
Nope, we're actually on a landline this time.
Gotcha. Okay, one of the things that they really, really had a lot of questions about, and this was where I did most poorly on the exam, is knowing...
Girls.
What was that?
Girls.
No, that's not on...
Well, they did poorly, so...
It's not on the Certified Ethical Hackers exam. And actually, I would have smoked that one if I say so myself. But hey, whatever. Says the single guy. The switches for a lot of the most popular security software applications. You have to know MMAP switches and Nessus switches and EtherCAP, just all these different programs. You really have to know a lot of the switches, probably memorize all of the switches and what they do and what they mean. There were several questions about that. Which of the following commands will do X, Y, Z? And they will list, and it's all multiple choice, which sounds like it should make it easy, but no. They'll give you four NMAP commands with four different switches, and if you don't know what they mean, and I'm not saying just like slash capital S. They're like long strings with 7, 8 parameters or more. So they'll give you a question that says, which of the following does A, B, C, D, E, F, and G? And you will have to know those switches and therefore know what each one does and then what they do when they're working together. And frankly, that one gave me trouble because I don't like memorizing. I like learning. I like actually learning the fundamental process of it, how and why it works. And memorizing switches, you know what? Real hackers, and this is one of the problems I have with the exam. This is a hacking exam. Real hackers don't memorize every switch. Real hackers know when and where to look those switches up when the time comes that I need them.
Yeah, question mark.
Yeah, what do you want me to, if somebody gives me that question, I want you to find A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. I'll be, okay, well, NMAP slash help, MF question mark. And I'll look them up, and then I'll type NMAP, and I'll put in the proper switches, and it doesn't take me any longer than some schmuck who memorized it. Take me 10 seconds, 30 seconds longer than somebody who memorized it. It's, to me, it seems memorization in general is foolish to me. I don't see the point of memorizing because it's too short term. I'd rather you learn everything and, you know, fundamentally, I should say. Learn the fundamentals of everything, I should say. Now, I'm going to take a look. I'm going to skim through this. I did not single any questions out ahead of time, but let me throw a couple of these. Again, I'm going to skip, like I said, there are a lot of them about NMAP switch this and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to skip those because that's kind of silly to read on the air. Just trust me, there's a lot of them. The exam itself is 125 questions. You have to go to an authorized school of some sort to take it, and you go in, they have them scheduled once every few weeks or once a month or something like that. You go in with a group of people, computerized exam, and as I said, multiple choice. So, again, I'm going to skip over that. There's also some in here that are too long to read. For example, here's a question that says, what does the following code indicate? And you have code. And, I mean, it's way, way too long for me to read source code on the radio. It's also kind of dumb, you know? Pound,
you're
define,
dumb, so,
max,
you know.
Yeah. So, but basically, you have to be able to look at code. Even if you know, there's some programming involved. You don't have to write it, but you have to be able to interpret it. And you have to be able to look at these and realize that this particular one I'm looking at is a buffer overflow. You have to be able to recognize one when you see it. And there's some others that I don't see in front of me now, but I remember now that I'm talking about that, there were some that were, why is this code insecure? You know, that it used gets or some insecure function or, you know what I mean? But there are also some questions in here that are very simple. For example, here's one. I will ask you this one because I know this is super simple. In the context of passwords, what is a brute force attack? Now, that's very simple. I mean, the answers are... actually, I like A. A says, you beat up someone until he reveals his password.
B, well, that's how I do it.
Yeah, right? B... you create hashes of large number of words and compare it with the encrypted password value. C, you try every single possibility. D, you wait until the password expires. Now, like any other testing scenario, you can wipe out a couple of the obvious ones. A is obviously...
Like that hash one, man. Just blow that one out.
Yeah, A is obviously incorrect, although maybe very effective, as Black Ratch has said. And D, wait until the password expires. How's that a brute force attack? I think that's obviously wrong. And B, of course, most listeners know that that's not correct either, because you're doing a dictionary-style attack on that one. That's not brute force. Brute force is absolutely pounding away with every single possibility. A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-B-A-A-A-C, and just pounding through. Now, they're not necessarily sequential like that. However, you get my point. So a lot of the questions are like that. And a lot of them are security terminology questions. Buffer overflow is more of a technique question, a brute force attack. Which of the following is a good example of passive fingerprinting? A, nmap scan. B, traceroute. C, an Edgar search. Or D, host scanning. Now, to answer that question, you have to know what the definition of passive fingerprinting is.
I'm so screwed if I take this.
Huh?
I'm so screwed if I take this.
Yeah, it's not. No, actually, if you think about it, I mean, it's difficult. I'm reading stuff on the radio. I'm not actually reading this for you to answer. But if you think about it,
I want to say like lead. I want to have like people like say like, dude, that Black Ratchet is really, you know, he's a fruit who really knows where his towel is.
This term, passive fingerprinting, is really the most important thing. And they do teach it in the course. You go for a week and take the course, or even more than a week sometimes, but like go for a week for the boot camp course. Or study on your own, which is what I did, and then just show up on the day that they offer the test.
Gunnery Sergeant Hartman teaches. Gunnery Sergeant Hartman teaches Lytics.
Yeah. What was the guy? Is that the guy from Ernie?
So it's Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, Full Metal Jacket. Is that him?
Yep.
Yeah.
R. Lee Emery.
What is passive fingerprinting, you maggot? Man, I don't do it.
Jesus H. Christ.
Passive fingerprinting, anyway. You will learn what passive fingerprinting, you will learn what the term is. However, it's somewhat, if you had to guess, if you put a little common sense, passive versus active. Passive fingerprinting is when you really kind of don't leave a fingerprint, if you want to think of it that way. It's passive, meaning you're not touching the server in question. Active fingerprinting or active scan... Fingerprinting and scanning are not interchangeable, but in this case they kind of are. If you're doing active fingerprinting, you're actively probing and looking at the box, scanning the box and things like that. Passive fingerprinting is standing back and trying to find out information without touching the box, without leaving a fingerprint on the box. For example, it's not on this list, but social engineering. Maybe calling up somebody and finding out information. I don't know, that might be... maybe that would be active, too, because you are connecting to the human factor of it.
Kind of iffy. But I look at passive as more like, you know, if I compromised another computer on the network, in which I have never done this, blah, 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 statute of limitations, I've only done this in the lab. there is a utility called... passive OS fingerprinter, and I believe it's P0F, and what it does is essentially just listens to all the traffic on the network and comes back and tells you, well, this IP is probably running, you know, Linux between 24.22 and 24.26, and this box is running FreeBSD3, and it does it the way I believe the way it gets the information is just watches the packets and looks at the TCP sequence numbers on it, and it's a really fascinating tool.
Right, and it very much is passive because it is sitting there sniffing or catching packets that are coming out. Now, the act of getting it in the loop, for lack of a better word, might be a little bit tougher, but the way that it works is passive because it's not going out and grabbing, it's sitting back and listening. So now thinking of active and passive again, I'll go back to the four choices were A, an nmap scan. Obviously, that is an active attack. You are doing a scan on a computer. You are scanning their open ports and things like that. So we can wipe that one off the possibilities. Traceroute, B, traceroute. Traceroute is doing the same thing. A traceroute functions by pinging every hop along the way from one destination to another, from one source to a destination. So there's actually a ping process. You are connecting and hitting everything along the way with the goal of finding out information of every hop along the way, whether it be the routers on their end, the ultimate computer at the end of it, the switches that they're using, etc. So that also is active. So that one we can cross off. That's not part of passive fingerprinting. C and D, Edgar search or host scanning. Well, again, host scanning is obviously scanning a computer. I think that's pretty obviously active. It's kind of a generic term, host scanning. You're scanning the host for vulnerabilities or something like that, but you are actively scanning that computer. So that leaves the odd man out here. Even if you didn't know the answer up front, the only answer you're left with is C, Edgar Search.
And what the heck is an Edgar Search?
I'm sorry?
What the heck is Edgar?
I was going to say, now for Edgar Search, for those of you who don't know, is a stock market term. Edgar is searching for information on a company through the Edgar database. So you can go out there and find out, for example, what kind of file system does Google use? Well, we could scan them, we could nmap, we could traceroute, we could do all kinds of active fingerprinting, but I could also look up their stock term and say, and read, for instance, some of their stockholder information or some of their press releases and things like that that says, Google is able to save money because of our proprietary Google file system, GFS, which operates on a multi-hat, you know, and you can get it passively without ever touching or connecting to any of their boxes. You go to Edgar Online.
I think
it's edgar-online.com, I think, but I don't have that in front of me, so I'm not sure about that.
This Edgar guy seems pretty busy.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see, what else do we have here? Some of these are pretty... Here you go, this is an interesting one. This is the kind of questions I liked. Why would you bother sending an email to an address that does not exist to the company email server that you are currently testing? These are the kind of questions I really like, because it teaches you why people do things and why hackers take these actions that may not make sense. You may not understand. Why would you send an email to an address that doesn't exist on a mail server?
A, because you're a noob.
And these answers are pretty obviously, you can, process of elimination. A, you wish to do a denial of service attack on their SMTP server. Not with one email, you're not. The answer is B, I'm going to skip that one. C, you will elicit a response that will reveal who is the postmaster. Not necessarily. No.
Possibly,
but not necessarily. Technically, I think you are required to put a postmaster address, but it's not enforced.
Yes, rfc-ignorant.org.
Yeah, that is actually a... I think that is required, but it's not enforced. That could actually... I might argue that as a trick question, a trick answer. D, you will test what the emergency response team reaction is in such a case.
Oh my god, we got a wrong email!
We got an email that bounced! Oh no! Do you know how many emails that we get on a daily basis at BenRev that bounce?
Yeah, it's probably... Never underestimate the asinine qualities of emergency response teams.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I was reading a news story. I'm not exactly sure where I read this, but somebody in London was arrested for browsing a tsunami relief site, and the admin thought he was a hacker. Why? Because he was using links.
Oh, only hackers use links.
He was arrested.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty asinine.
Yeah. Well, the answer to this one is B.
Oh, man, I knew that one.
And B says, again, this is why you send an email to an address that doesn't exist. Because B, you will elicit a response back that will reveal information on servers being used in the treatment of mail traffic. And that is a fact. You are going to get, the mail server is going to pick it up. It's going to pass it through any other servers, such as spam servers. There are hardware solutions or even software servers where people set up a box to search it for spam. You're going to find all those hops, all those hits as it passes through. And you will see that in all the email headers. So that would be the reason to send a fake email, not because you want them to see it, because you want to get that bounce message back so you can see where it went. Let's see. Again, some terminology. Firewalking.
Dude, I saw that in, like, you know, some documentary on National Geographic. That looked pretty painful.
Yeah, that you don't see where that has to do with hacking, though. But
yeah.
Firewalking is just... I'm not
going to... They probably want to hack off your feet if they turned into cinders.
Probably. It has to do with firewalls. Common sense might put the words together, two and two together. Firewalking, firewall is determining what rules are in place on the firewall based on the responses you get back from trying to pass through it or trying to connect to it. Let's see here. Let me find a couple others that are... Let me find some tougher ones, because those are all actually pretty easy. You'll get a lot of questions like this. This one's true or false, but most of them are not true and false. But this one says, if you receive an RST packet while doing an ACK scan, it indicates that the port is open. True or false? Now, most of the ones that I've seen say, if you receive this packet while doing this scan, what response will you get? And you'll get four options, and you'll have to... I didn't have any true or false on the actual test. This is a practice exam I'm looking at now, so there were no true and false on the actual exam. And this one is true. The port is open. There were several like that. You definitely have to know the responses. You have to know all the different responses to all the different queries. Let's see. Boy, that's way...
Wait, if you get a reset packet when you're scanning something, the port is open?
Let's see. If you receive...
Unless, of course, I heard you wrong.
If you receive a reset packet while doing an ACK scan, it indicates that the port is open. And that is true.
Never mind. Okay, I'm just going to shut up now and not sound like a noob.
That is true. Let's see here.
I was just kidding. I was letting the people play at home saying, oh my God, he's so wrong.
That's just it. You have to, all these different packets and which types of, and that goes back to what I was saying before, too, about which type of packets you're using and how they're made up and et cetera, because they're all different.
Why
Nmap and tools like that are so great to automate all that stuff.
Nmap's code is godlike.
Yeah, it's, you know, Fyodor...
Does crazy things with the TCP scans that, like, you know, the people never even thought were possible. It's a beauty. It's the code is just wonderful to look at if you're ever looking at TCP sockets in C.
Very, very good stuff. Here's one that has a big, long bit of text, and it's basically, what can you tell from this... What can you tell from this log entry? And you see a bunch of hits with things like root exe c colon / directory, command exe, et cetera, et cetera. All these attempts at executing command exe, which is...
Looks like NIMDA
signature, absolutely right. That's a signature. If any time you see that, it's a NIMDA attack or attempted.
Well, technically it could also be a code red.
Yeah, very...
Well, because NIMDA uses, basically tries to use code red backdoors.
I was getting ready to say, because they're so very closely related. Here's an easy one. What do the following have in common? Trinu, TFN2K, WinTrinu, T-Site, and StractalDrot have in common? And they're all distributed denial of service tools.
Damn it, I was going to say that too, but I didn't want to sound like a noob. I'm worried about trashing my reputation here.
Right,
it's like, you know, it's 12:37, I'm tired.
Here's a simple one. Actually, this is too simple. They didn't have anything this simple on the exam. What tool do you need to read a Perl script in order to determine what is the purpose of the script?
Cat.
Yeah, the answer is any text editor or text viewer. That was not a question that simple on the exam. Absolutely not. These sample questions now are starting to become...
LPR.
What is a hacktivist?
Stank dog.
Wrong answer. Someone that hacks for a cause. Unless you can call having fun a cause, then no, I'm not a hacktivist.
Crime Think. Oh, God, I hate
Oh,
that.
No, don't mention him on my show. Let's see.
The noob!
Okay, I am a tool that can hide processes from the process list. I can hide files. I can also hide registry entries, intercept keystrokes typed at the console, issue a debug interrupt causing a blue screen of death, redirect exe files. What is the name of this tool? I don't particularly like this question, but yes, the answer is rootkit.
Yay!
See
the little bell to ring when I'm right.
Some of these hackers would do better at than I think some of these security professionals who this is aimed towards. like this one. I am a tool used to crack a single account on NetWare servers using a dictionary attack. What is my name?
God, I don't even remember what NetWare was.
Yeah, and the thing is, hackers may have used this, so they may be familiar with it, whereas I think most security administrators, especially these days, don't remember NetWare stuff either, but it's NWP...
Well, NetWare's still around. I know a couple of people who still use it.
Yeah, it's NWP crack.
Let's check that one out.
NWP crack. Now, let me take a look at this. Let's see. Let me find some good questions here. See, the sample quizzes they give you don't show the good multiple choice. Let me see about a couple of the ones that I wrote down that I copied and pasted because I thought they were tricky. Let me see. What do I have here?
I don't know.
Okay, here's one. Here's one that I don't like. I hated this question on the exam. I don't know if I got it right. Well, I went and looked the answer afterwards because I'm like that. It says, according to CEH methodology, which CEH, of course, Certified Ethical Hacking Methodology, what is the next step to be performed after footprinting? Is it A, enumeration, B, scanning, C, system hacking, D, social engineering, or E, expanding influence?
F, grab fear.
Yeah, and see, I don't like this. 21. I don't like this question because who the hell are they to tell me what CEH methodology? I don't give a rat's ass what your CEH methodology is. That's some bullshit.
Technically, they can tell you what CEH methodology
is,
and
they do.
Follow it.
They do in the course, but I don't like them asking the questions on it because to me, it's not really appropriate. That's not something that measures or tests your hacking ability or your hacking knowledge. It measures how much you memorized out of their stupid textbook. It's worthless information to me. Fine, that's the way you CEH people want to look at things, but that's not the way that real hackers do it.
Take a page from the Microsoft.
Yeah, we do it in whatever format or order we think is most appropriate. Locking yourself into some strict, rigid list is ridiculous. The answer, by the way, was scanning, B, scanning. After footprinting. So I guess enumeration, in their methodology, enumeration is probably first, then footprinting, then scanning. And I don't think these others are really system hacking. That's too vague of a term. I don't think there's a real...
But when do you get beer?
I think that must be in the stage two.
Oh, okay.
All right, how about this one? This is a tricky one. Well, that's not tricky. You either know it or you don't. While footprinting a network, and I did not, that's why I wrote this down, by the way. While footprinting a network, what port service should you look for to attempt a zone transfer?
53.
And? What port and service?
Oh, 53, service as in DNS or service as in UDP?
TCP.
TCP.
On TCP, you got it. Let's see, what else?
Ding, yay!
let me find another good one here.
Dig dash AXDFR.
Okay, here's the NMAP question I was talking about earlier. And you either have them memorized or you don't. Which of the following NMAP commands would be used to perform a UDP scan of the lower 1024 ports? A, nmap dash lowercase h capital U. B, nmap dash lowercase h capital U space hosts. C, nmap dash lowercase s capital U dash lowercase p 1-1024 space hosts. D, nmap dash u space dash V space dash W2 space host space 1-1024 or E nmap dash lowercase s dash capital S space dash lowercase O space target slash 1024.
Nmap dash do what I want dash now dash.
The answer to that was C, which I'm not even going to read again. But it's one of those things where you have to know and have memorized all of these switches. And those are the questions that killed me. I don't memorize. I look them up when the time comes. I think it's foolish. Again, the packets and the responses and things like that. Which of the following ICMP message types are used for destination unreachable? A, 0, B, 3, C, 11, D, 13, or E, 17?
I'll take a shot in the dark and say 13.
It's B, 3.
Oh. Destination host or destination net?
Destination's unreachable, it doesn't say. Let's see.
I will fully admit I don't know ICMP replies. ICMP replies.
Let's see. Here's a whole string of these. Of the ones we talked about earlier. If you send a SYN to an open port, what is the correct response?
SYN ACK.
Yes. But I need more information. This is another trick question, kind of. If you send a SYN to an open port, what is the correct response? A, SYN, B, ACK, C, FIN, or D, PSH?
PSH, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be a SYN.
It would be A and B is the correct answer to that one.
You can do that?
Half open scanning. I believe that's
you
again.
You can do like two questions at once?
This is, yeah, you can
get... answer though.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. Well, you know what? I got to be honest. On this one and a lot of these, I went and looked them up afterwards. So I can't guarantee the accuracy, quite frankly. If someone knows that I've misspoken here, please correct me without calling me a dumbass. Just say I misspoke, but...
Thank you, dumbass. You misspoke.
Yeah. How about... All right, here's one that's a clear answer. What is the proper response for a FIN scan, F-I-N... if the port is closed? A SYN, B ACK, C FIN, D PSH, E RST.
I'm gonna guess E.
You got it. Reset.
A.
Reset.
I don't even think PSH is a proper response for a.
It is. What is PSH?
Oh, unless it's like one of those, like, you know, crazy ones like squelch or source quench.
It's like, oh, man. I can't think of what...
Hold on,
it is bad.
Ask Google.
No, not Google. Ask Yahoo, damn it.
Screw you. I'm asking Google.
I don't ask Google anymore. And actually, you know what?
Sierra Hotel.
We're going to stop with that one because we're running low on time. But you got an idea. I'm going to tell you what. I'll read a few more questions, and I'm not going to give the answers. And I'll let people look these answers up. What type of...
Before you do that, what was the PS whatever?
PSH?
Papa Sierra Hotel?
Yeah.
Okay. I will look it up while you read the questions.
Okay. I'm just going to jump on some questions that I missed. Which type of NMAP scan is the most reliable, but also the most visible and likely to be picked up by an intrusion detection system? A, SYN scan, B, ACK scan, D, RST scan, D, Kinect scan, or E, FIN scan? Let's see. What is Form's scalpel used for? And a lot of these, again, are knowing tools. What is Hunt used for? Hunt, which the answer to that, of course, I'll tell you because it's kind of tough to Google for, is used to intercept traffic, as in man-in-the-middle type traffic, man-in-the-middle attacks. What is the disadvantage of an automated vulnerability assessment tool? Here's a good one. What ports should be blocked on the firewall to prevent net BIOS traffic from not coming through the firewall if your network is comprised of Windows NT 2000 and XP?
That's a fun one.
Yes, that one. I'm going to leave that one because you can easily find the answer to that one. Let's see. What is the command? What are the default passwords used by SNMP? There are two answers to that. Two of them.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Yep. Oh, goodness, goodness, goodness. Let's see. SOA records, you have to know. Pandora is used to attack network operating systems. To attack what network operating systems, excuse me? Um, Which of the following are potential attacks on cryptography? A, a one-time pad. B, chosen ciphertext. C, man in the middle. Or D, known ciphertext attack. Or, I'm sorry, or E, replay attack. A lot of logs, a lot of cut and pasting of log files. And you're supposed to look through the logs and see what kind of attack was attempted or what kind of information you can garnish from it. Generated by an intrusion detection system, for example, they will give you a part of the log when they think something's going on, and you have to look at it and figure out what's going on. Let's see, DNS cache poisoning, you have to know a little bit about that. Actually, that's all that I wrote down that I missed for sure, or that I had questions about that I wanted to look up afterwards. And I think that's probably good anyway, because we're running low on time, so... The other thing is, the reason I don't have the answers to some of these is when you're done taking the exam, they do not tell you which ones you missed or what the correct answers were. They simply give you a score, which I thought was incredibly frustrating. It's, you know, if I'm going to take this...
Standard.
Yeah, if I see, the whole thing is I want to learn whichever ones I missed. I want to know what the correct answer was so I can know and learn that. I mean...
That's not their problem.
Yeah, apparently not. That is kind of... Oh, well.
Anyway, for those of you playing at home, PSH stands for push, which instructs in a TCP packet, instructs the receiving system to send all buffered data immediately. But as far as I know, it has nothing to do with the connect sequence.
No. Oh, I don't think so. All right, well, I guess we're going to wrap it up here. That should give you a very good idea of the type of questions that they ask. They're very technical, very detailed level stuff, knowing flags, knowing exact responses, and then mix in some questions about different tools. Now, I personally did fine on most of the tools because I'm familiar with a lot of them. I just don't memorize a lot of these switches and a lot of things like that. I also did way too poorly on the port responses. I should have done better on that, but I am not a network guy, so I don't really memorize those very well either.
Noob.
So, yeah, I guess I'm a bit of a noob that way. So those are the ones, that's why I read quite a few of those questions, because those are the ones that made me stumble. Luckily, I had enough other things that I knew that I was able to still get the CEH. But anyway, if you feel comfortable with those questions that we gave you, some of those samples, and those type of questions, you might want to look into it. So do a search for Certified Ethical Hacker, and you will find several links. And that, I think, is enough for the show. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right, let's close out here. I wanted to make one comment. I mentioned on our site of the week previously a site called Welcome to the Scene, which is like a video show, which I think the sixth episode just came out, which is kind of interesting. Trying to twist it and change characters on us, which is really cool. I like this show. I still like this show. It's a little bit slow at first, but once you start watching it, it's surprisingly addictive. It's well done, I think, and interesting. But I've seen a lot of people out there making comments that this is somehow Sony propaganda. And that really confuses me. I understand, apparently, somebody has made a connection that, I guess an undeniable connection, that one of the girls that works for this company, June Entertainment or something, either works or has worked for Sony in the past. But I don't think that's really enough of a connection to say that this is Sony propaganda, because if you've seen this, and I don't know if you have, Black Ratchet.
No, I have not.
But it's a show about, it's called The Scene because it's about the wares and piracy scene. Well, so far, I mean, if it was some kind of propaganda film, they would be telling you how bad it is and how wrong it is and all this kind of stuff. And they're not. They're actually showing you how some of it works. Now, as far as how valid it is, I don't know. You know, it's a drama, so they probably fudge a few things here and there. It's all fictional names and characters and stuff like that. But if it was from Sony,
the whole idea of a girl working on a piracy scene is just completely overblown.
Yeah, yeah. The whole idea
that jeez.
The whole point of thinking it's propaganda. If it was, they wouldn't be allowing it to talk about these subjects. They would be going away from it or showing you how bad it is. Secondly, the logic of this escapes me. If you go to the site, they have a link to eDonkey downloads, eMule, BitTorrent, etc., etc. They've got links to all these peer-to-peer apps. Sony's scared shitless of those apps. They don't want you to use them for anything at all because they know that their stuff is out there being pirated. They wouldn't promote them in any way, shape, or form. If Sony had any involvement in this, they wouldn't be using those things. That's what it seems like to me. What did you hear?
I heard that it was all actually a conspiracy that Sony wants you to think it's not related to them.
Oh, geez. What reality they do is
they embed mind control inside the
video. Don't encourage them. Don't encourage them with more conspiracy theories.
Dude, they're all out to get you.
I'm wearing
my tinfoil hat right now.
Yeah, my conspiracy theory is all against Google right now. My site of the week this week is search.yahoo.com. Start using it. Google is the sucksor.
My side of the week is phonetrips.com.
Phonetrips.com,
it's a wonderful series of recordings of old telephone systems.
Classic.
I've had them all converted to MP3, and they're all on my iPod, and that's what I listen to while I'm coding.
Very cool. Classic phone sounds
give me a woody.
Too much information there, buddy.
Which How about shout-outs? Embarrassing at work.
What kind of shout-outs do you have?
Send shout-outs to the DET forums. And I hadn't anything planned, so...
Yeah, I didn't either. I give a shout-out to ZeroDB.
Shout-out to Tank. There we go.
Yeah, shout-outs to ZeroDB. See, that's a cop-out. That's no... I give shouts to ZeroDB. He's been busy lately, but he's put together a presentation for our 2600 meeting this week, and that's a reminder to everyone listening. If you go to your 2600 meetings, they will be this Friday, April 1st, April Fool's Day. So go to your meetings, or if you don't go regularly, go try one for the first time. You never know. You may like it. So 2600 meetings.
I was actually going to go to my last one, and that time, like, someone sent out, I'm subscribed to my mailing list, and someone sent out a thing saying, you know, we're going to have a reporter at our meeting. I'm like, oh, God damn it, I'm not going to go to that then.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
And, like, nobody went. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think, isn't that the same? Well, never mind, I shouldn't tie you. Anyway, email.
I'll send shout-outs to Strom Carlson, who was feeling sick this week, sick today, so I hope he feels better by the time this airs.
Okay. Email us, radio@benrev.com. Closing music tonight is another track from Woo Child. It's called Give 'Em What They Want. And that is going to do it for episode 89 of Binary Revolution.
I want a new computer.
What?
I want a new computer if they want to give it to me.
I don't think he's going to do that. Anyway, we're running on disk space, so we're going to tell everybody that we'll see him next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
And the time comes. Yeah. Gotta seek the truth to know it exists, yeah. And it's standing right in front of you. Yeah, come on. You know the kids stay hot. I don't gotta say what it is or who I am, but to make sure that you understand, it's Wu Chow, and there's really no other man who can get it snapping like T.I. with them rubber bands. A self-made man, yeah. Practicing blowing myself up like I was from Pakistan with a track in hand. It's only a matter of time. Yeah. I'm the unknown truth, like Hank Gathers in his prime. Whoa. With his heart pumping, training day is up. So I spit it like the Russians, pull up and start dumping on whoever think they running something. Treat them like Denzel. Their careers, well, ain't no survivors coming from it. Till I'm the last man standing on the planet that could canvas Goliath by supplying the fire single-handed. Brandish my weapon of choice like I'm wielding a cannon. You standing in my world and this is the anthem. Cause all I do is
give them what they want.
And you know I gotta
give them what they need
all the time.
Then you make them see.
Please believe ain't no better than me. Cause all I do is
give them what they want.
And you know I gotta
give them what they need
all the time. Please believe ain't no better than me. When I spit, niggas mostly shook, but he think he tight. I knock the sugar out your tank like I'm Winky Wright. Don't have a career malfunction worse than Janet did. Panicking and needing more friends than Jennifer Aniston. Oh. You ain't even half of him.
Nah.
Now think fast, now you gotta swallow your pride and blow it out your ass. Without looter, I maneuver around the states, bitch. While these losers suck on their computers. What part of the game is this?
Yeah.
I ain't sound click, I sound sound check to put on a live set and make sure my mic sounds best. Like I'm M, you just wanna be famous, yeah. But this is my band, and no one knows what your name is. You ain't getting no shine from over here, pimp. You whacking got tracks, but nobody's trying to hear them. You mad and wanna get at the kid, then bring it. Leave your white teeth pink like Cam, I really mean it. Cause all I do is
give them what they want.
And you know I gotta
give them what they need
all the time.
Then you make them sing.
Please believe ain't no better than me. Cause all I do is
give them what they want.
And you know I gotta
give them what they need
all the time.
Then you make them sing.
Please believe ain't no better than me. Motherfuckers got me twisted. If they don't think I'm the sickest, most prolific, gifted nigga, stand witness. If you don't get the picture, I split it when I spit it. Hand you the difference. And if you don't get it then, you obviously wasn't listening close enough. I open up the arsenal. I'm in the game killing shit like Jason Williams. And if I target you, it ain't an accident. Nah, you standing on the sidelines screaming faggot shit like this ain't my year. Come closer. I get the grease popping on the back of your waves. Your knees locking like it's back in the day. With speech hotter than a package of J's. Saying he he's not to get you smacked in the face, yeah. You must not know who you really fucking with. I dodged the hate like Ali, you never even touched a kid. I know I'm ill and your time has expired. I treat you bitches like apprentice. Fuck it, you fired. Cause all I do is
give them what they want.
And you know I gotta
give them what they need
all the time.
Then you make them see.
Please believe ain't no better than me. Cause all I do is
give them what they want.
And you know I gotta
give them what they need
all the time.
Then you make them see.
Please believe ain't no better than me. Cause all I do is
give them what they want.
And you know I gotta
give them what they need
all the time.
Then you make them see.
Please believe ain't no better than me. Cause all I do is
give them what they want.
And you know I gotta
give them what they need
all the time.
Then you make them see.
Please believe ain't no better than me. Yeah.
That was that live shit, Urban One. Run it back. Let me hit it one more again.